Don't turn to a blank page in the back of your Bible. I hope I don't see you sitting there gawking at me without writing something down. Because I'm going to be exploring one of the most difficult subjects I have had. I have had one tough week in this. And I appreciate your prayers for me. I mean that. It makes all the difference in the world in my life. Now I'm going to be dealing with the subject of believers. Mark me now. Believers and the demonic. Now I'm hearing a lot of things in our day about this. And so I want to try to bring to you a biblical perspective. Now I hate to tell you this, but my outline's 6 pages long. And afterwards, if you want to come up here and check some points, you do. But I want to give you the major scriptures. I cannot read all these scriptures. But I'll give them to you, and you can look up when you get home and check me. You say, Bob, we trust you. I wouldn't trust anybody in this area. Some of the greatest men that I know, I have read and felt like they're in excess. And I just trust them completely and feel like they're in excess. So I hope that you will not trust me. You will look at the Bible. Now, there are two extremes in the area of the demonic. One extreme we are guilty of, the vast majority of us are guilty of one or two of these extremes. And I tell you where most of us are. Most of us don't have a problem with emphasizing the supernatural too much. Most of us have a major problem of recognizing that we are in a spiritual battle for the lives and hearts of men every day. Satan is not some little comic person back over there. Friends, I want to tell you, you believe the Bible, he is a current, relevant, dangerous, daily enemy for the Christian. And I'm going to try to show that to you. And I think the vast majority of you, if I could scare the pants off of you, I would, because you'd be in better shape spiritually if you were a little afraid of what I'm going to talk about. Now, the other extreme is casting demons out of everything. Bumblebees, garden bugs, ingrown toenails, everything that happens, a demon did it. And that's the pits. It is Christian superstition. And there are some very sincere people in our day caught up in Christian superstition. Now, somewhere between those two, there is a real biblical truth that we need to hear. And oh, I pray to God we'll hear it. Now, I have read I don't know how many books this last week by people that I really trust, that I really disagree with. Let me tell you what's happening in our day. You go out and you go to any Christian bookstore in this town, you ask them for some books on the demonic. And friends, they got a shelf full of them. And I think what's in them is probably mostly accurate. But unfortunately, what they do is they start to base the doctrine on their experience or others' experience instead of on the Word of God. Now, the only place to build doctrine about the believer and the demonic is the Bible. The Bible is the only source for faith and practice. I scream that, I holler that, I say it every Sunday. And you still do not hear what I'm saying. This is the only place to go. Now, I do not doubt that there are genuine experiences from people who deal with this. I am just saying for us, our experience or others' experience cannot be the source of Christian doctrine. It must be the Bible only. Only, only, only. I do not have clear answers in this area. The Scripture does not delve into, spend a lot of time with, evil of any sort. Now, I'm not going to be dealing with the devil today primarily, but the demonic. The Bible does not speak a whole lot of the devil. It does not tell us a whole lot about evil. It does not tell us the origin of demons or really what demons even are. Why? Because the major thrust of the Bible is the person and work of Jesus Christ. Do not get caught up in a rampage of demonology. We do not need to know more about demons than we know in the Bible. We have enough to live, to have victory, and to be good, godly men and women with what we already know. We don't need extra knowledge from anybody, no matter how sincere. We don't need it. There are people who've gone with sincere, godly Christians who have gone off of the deep end. And there are Christians who don't even know there's a deep end. And there's the two dangers. Now, if you believe the Bible, if you've read the Bible, there's no doubt in your mind that we live in a world that is both flesh and spirit. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to assert to you, if the Bible's true, that in this room this morning is the presence of both good and evil supernatural beings in this room. I would not be real surprised if there is not the demonic here in people's lives. Now, friends, you know me. I am no way out screwball. I am a rationalist, probably overboard. But I'm telling you, if you accept the Bible, there is a supernatural world that's affecting you on a daily basis. Now, I want to give you the biblical material quickly, if I could. Are the demons mentioned in the Old Testament? Yes, they are. They are not majored on. They are just glanced at, but they are there. I'm going to list about four kinds. The satyrs, which in Hebrew means the hairy ones. Leviticus 17:7. If you have a reference Bible, just get one of these and your reference Bible will tell you where the rest are. Isaiah 13:21, Isaiah 34:14, 2 Chronicles 11:15. The shadim, the dark ones, translated the demons in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 32:17, Psalms 106:37. A female demon, demoness named Lilith, Isaiah 34:14. A desert demon named Aziel, Leviticus 16:22. Is there any place in the Old Testament where someone was demon-possessed? Yes, there is. Two that I know of. One of them was the king of Israel. And his name was Saul. 1 Samuel 16:14 and 15. 1 Samuel 18:10. 1 Samuel 19:9. 1 Chronicles 10:13 and 14. You read it for yourself. It says, the evil spirit of the Lord came upon Saul over and over and over again. Another place that's mentioned about the evil spirit coming between people is Judges 9:23, Abimelech to be specific. Does the Bible mention occult practices? Certainly does. Deuteronomy 18:10 through 14. 2 Kings 21:4 through 6. And I won't say a word, you're right here, about occult practices. In the reading I've done, I am not experienced in this area. I am not a gifted exorcist. All right? I don't do that. I will, I guess, if I have to after this study. But it's not my thing. I'm not real excited about that. I have no curiosity in that area. But I want you to know that occult practices in our day are mushrooming. And they're not any different than what's in the Old Testament. Now, friends, I want to tell you, you want to get in trouble quick. As a believer, you just start dabbling in occult. You just start reading horoscopes. You just start going to palm readers. You just do that, and I promise you that even for a believer, there'll be great problems in your life. Our people think it's a joke. Friends, I'm here to tell you this ain't no joke I'm talking about. The New Testament, there's a radical development of the demonic in the New Testament. It moves from those few little references in the Old, and it goes from Mark 1, full-blown, right through every gospel. You just sit down, pick any gospel you want to, read it, and it will amaze you how often Jesus comes in contact with the demonic. It's just overwhelming in the Gospels and to some extent in Acts. Now, The origin of demons is unknown. I really believe with the scriptures we have, they are probably fallen angels, but there are many theories. The Bible never tells us once where they come from. Never. It does say that their leader is Satan, Lucifer, the evil one. And I think most of the time in our study this morning, we could pretty well substitute Satan for the demonic. It would almost be synonymous, though not exactly. And if you want to see that, you ought to see Job, the book of Job. And then you ought to see Luke 13, 10 through 13. It goes by several names, more than I'm going to list, but these are the common ones. Familiar spirits, unclean spirits, evil spirits, seducing spirits, spirits of divination. Now the verb appears all the time, and especially the participle. Demonized or demonizing appears quite often. The purpose seems to be, if you'll just read any, pick a gospel and read it. It won't be very many chapters before you come across what I'm talking about. The purpose seems to be to accuse, to tempt, to destroy, and to thwart whatever is of God in our world, in our lives. There seems to be orders, ranks, echelons of evil in our world. Now, these echelons of evil can be seen in several places. Some of those famous passages in all the Bible really show us some levels of evil. I do not know how Satan relates to all these levels of evil. I am ignorant. I have studied. I have looked at all the scriptures. The scriptures do not tell us. They assert it. They don't go any further. Let me give you a few references. 1 Corinthians 15:24, Romans 8:38, list two or three. But I guess the classical passages that list the order of the forces of evil in our world is Ephesians 6 and Colossians 1. Let me give you quickly. Principalities, authorities, world rulers, and spiritual wickedness. You say, Bob, this is wild stuff. You've really gone off your rocker. I take the Bible quite seriously. We're in an age of, or we think we know everything if we can put it in a test tube. We are so arrogant on our technological advances, we are foolhardy in the area of spiritual realities. Friends, I want to tell you, I'm talking about what the book says. Now, apparently the demonic is able to cause physical diseases, blindness, dumbness, epilepsy, mental illness. You say, does it happen to believers? Okay, here, that's what I've been trying to get to. What is the relationship to personal evil and you? That's where it really gets down to it, isn't it? I'm not talking about unbelievers today. If there's any here, I hope you perk up and listen. But I'm talking basically to believers. What is the biblical warnings or admonitions or statements about you and evil? Okay? How are believers affected? Well, I want to tell you that Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, that I've preached on quite often, that you probably know by heart, is a passage that asserts that Christians are in a spiritual battle, not only with the evil one, but with this same principalities and powers. It says quite clearly that we wrestle not with flesh and blood. We wrestle with principalities, with powers, with world rulers, this darkness of world wickedness in heavenly places. Now, friends, that's a passage written to Christians. Now, I really believe that Christians are influenced, tempted, thwarted, and even destroyed by the demonic. You say, okay, tell me about it. All right, I won't try to. The Gospels and Acts speak often of the demonic. But quite surprisingly, all of the epistles, and what am I talking about? I'm talking about Romans all the way through to Revelation. Everything but the Gospels and Acts don't talk about it much at all. Now think what I'm saying. In the life of Jesus, it occurs over and over and over and over again. In the early movement of the church, in the lives of the apostles, it occurred several times in Acts. Even Paul, who speaks in Acts 16 of casting out a spirit of divination from a slave girl and got in so much trouble, never even mentions that in the book of Philippians, the exact city where that occurred. Never mentions it one time in Philippians. Not once. There is no allusion in my study to demons in the epistles, unless that Ephesians 6 is one passage. Now, exorcism, that's really getting popular today. I don't know if you know it or not. You just may have been sheltered so much you don't know it. But exorcism of believers is something that's coming on the scene. Now, I want to say a word about that to you. Exorcism is not listed in any of the gifts of the Spirit. That's significant. Exorcism is not one of the gifts. It's not mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12. It's not mentioned in Ephesians 4. It's not mentioned in Romans. Now, what does that say to me? I don't really know what that says to me. I just want to tell you that we're never, never commanded to cast out demons. We're never commanded to assert our authority in His name. Now, boy, I hear a lot of stuff now coming from circles that we're to claim authority and cast these things out. Kind of hold with me, because I'm trying to hit two extremes today. If I don't get you with the left punch, I hope I flatten you with the right, because one of them you need to hear. I'm not sure which one. But now I want to give you a list of six or eight scripture texts that I hope you'll write down where believers are in a position of being daily affected by a personal force of evil, Satan in particular. Now, I'm not sure if the term Satan here applies to the demonic also. I don't know. But I'm saying, for you as a Christian, here are a list of scriptures that you can be drastically affected on a daily basis with evil, even though you're a Christian. Acts 5:3. 1 Corinthians 5:5, 7:5, 10:20. 2 Corinthians 2:11, 12:7. Ephesians 6:16. First Timothy 3:7 and 1:20. 2 Timothy 2:26. And finally, but significantly, 1 Peter 5:8. Now, I've got one more reference I want to talk to you about. I do not know how this applies to Jewish believers before Jesus, because I don't know how many Jews were actually right with God and how many were just part of the covenant nation but had no personal faith. But in Luke 13:16, a woman had been bound by Satan for, I think, 10 years, 18 years, something like that. And it says that she was a true daughter of Abraham. So I'm going to take that to mean that she did know the Lord by faith, and Jesus healed her. Now, I'm not sure it's a believer, because I'm not sure what I can say about Old Testament believers versus New Testament believers, but there is a lady called a daughter of Abraham who Jesus said was bound by Satan for 18 years. What can we do to help ourselves in this spiritual battle? You see, my first major problem as a pastor is to convince you there's a spiritual battle. Nothing just happens in your life. There is no such thing as luck, fate, chance in your life. May I say it again? I want you to think about who you are. Nothing just happens in your life. Now, as we are saved by grace through a response of faith, And as we live the Christian life by grace as a response through faith, we fight the spiritual battle through the grace of God only by the faith. So that means we must respond to God's provision to equip us to struggle in the spiritual realm. You say, I don't want to struggle. You don't have an option. Ignorance will smash you in this battle. Naivety is no excuse. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. You are the object of satanic attack. Daily. You say, I don't believe that. Fine. Read the Gospels. And check these references right here. What can Christians do? What can we do? God, help us. We're in a battle beyond our means. We're fighting a foe far beyond our power. What can we do? Be sober and be alert. 1 Peter 5:8. Recognize that we're in a spiritual battle for the lives and hearts of men. Keep your eyes open, your spiritual eyes open. Resist him. 1 Peter 5:8, James 4:7. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Friends, you've got to recognize he's with you before you're going to resist him. 3. Give no foothold, or should I say fulcrum, or should I say beachhead. Give no opportunity to the devil. Ephesians 4:27. Put on the full armor of God. Ephesians 6:10 through 18. Now I want to tell you, God's provided all the armor in grace. The armor is ours in Jesus Christ, but Ephesians 6 says, put it on. Aorist, middle imperative. You yourselves pick up the armor and put it on. It's ours. It is not automatic. It is not automatic. Be wise to his ways. 2 Corinthians 2:11. If you deny evil, if you deny a personal form of evil, friends, you're extremely vulnerable to getting clobbered by that spiritually. We need to read the book and understand what are the devil's ways. What are some of the ways? Let me just mention a couple of them. Your mind is the seedbed of your personality. The Old Testament, put it this way, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You just let your mind dwell on the crud, muck, junk of this world, you just open yourself up. Your mind. Your body. What in the world are you doing with the body that God gave you to serve him with? We got to know what the evil one's trying to do. Know your Bible. Friends, Sunday school's not enough. Reading the Bible stories to your kids is not enough. Jesus overcome the temptation of the evil one in Matthew 4 by quoting Scripture. Now, I want you to know, friends, in Matthew 4, Satan also quoted Scripture. He comes as an angel of light, 2 Corinthians 11, quoting Scripture. And if you don't know it, you're vulnerable. Another passage on that is 1 John 2:14. I think Christians need to confess their sins daily and turn from them. Now, if you've got a little pet sin you're holding on to and you enjoy it so much, I want to tell you, that's going to thwart your growth. It's going to almost nullify your ability to significantly withstand evil. When you realize you've rebelled against God, recognize it, turn from it, ask him to forgive you. 1 John 1:9. Flee lust. Some of you are eaten up with the things of this world. Now, it may be a new car. It may be sex. It may be experience. It may be power. It may be money. Some of you are eaten up with the things of this world, not the things of God. And the passage I'm talking about, flee lust, y'all see 1 Peter 2:11. And then in Timothy it says, flee lust and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. 2 Timothy 2:22. Don't just don't just flee lust, but put something in their place. Now, Paul would say it this way. If there's anything good, anything honorable, anything beautiful, think on these things. Think on these things. Next, be careful about false doctrine. I want to tell you, 1 Timothy 4:1 says that in the last days there's going to come false teachers that are their purpose is to lead away the elect. They're not going to be after the lost, they're going to be after the elect. You say, oh, I don't like that. I don't like it either. But Matthew 24:24 tells me in the last day are going to come false prophets. They look like Christians, look like sheep. They're going to do signs and wonders, and they're going to lead many astray. Miracle is not automatically the sign of God. Now, I think there's some passages on that. I think you ought to look at it. 1 Corinthians 10:20. False doctrine is of the demons. World religions are of the demonic. 1 Timothy 4:1. 1 John 4:1-6. All talk about false doctrine. The New Testament and the epistles talks over and over about false teachers, not about the demonic. But 1 Corinthians 10:20 says that the demonic is behind those things. Now, be careful on becoming obsessed with Satan and the demons. When the 70 came back and they said to Jesus, the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus whirled on them and said, don't you be thankful the demons are subject to you in my name. You be thankful your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Sometimes we can get so heady with spiritual power is the reason God doesn't give us the spiritual power. Now, friends, Satan is not something to be majored on. I haven't preached on Satan but 4 times in going on 8 years. I don't preach on that a lot. But just because I don't preach on it a lot, it doesn't mean it's not something significant you need to know about and hear. They are totally defeated. The demonic, Satan, the powers of evil are totally defeated. They are present. They are dangerous. They are out to smash you. But they are defeated ultimately. Let me give you a few. John 12:31. Colossians 2:10-15. 15 is beautiful. Hebrews 2:14. 1 John 3:8. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Matthew 28:18. Luke 10:19 says, he's finished, he's defeated. We need to hear that. We stand in Jesus Christ as children of light. We do not need to succumb to this area at all. Satan and demonic are not even mentioned in the major New Testament passages on man's sinfulness. What am I talking about? The book of Romans, which is a systematic treatise on theology, does not even mention Satan or demons until chapter 16, an offhanded reference. So in Romans 1 through 3, where the sinfulness of all man is mentioned, demonic is not mentioned. Why? Because the demonic is no excuse for our sin as an unbeliever or our continuing sin as a believer. It is not mentioned in James 1, 13 through 16. I want to say to you, the Bible tells us that greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. That says two things. There is somebody in the world after your hide. But there is somebody more powerful than Him in our heart. 1 John 4:4. 1 John 5:18 says, the devil cannot even hold on to, handle, or even touch the child of God. 1 John 5:18. You ought to see John 10:38 and John 17:12 for more on those same lines. Be careful, Christian, of taking evil and sin lightly, though. I'm trying to hit two extremes now. I've just hit one. I'm going to hit the other. Be careful of taking evil and sin too lightly. Satan is present and real. And he is more a problem to you than lung cancer, I want to tell you. He's more a problem to you than pollution. He's more of a problem to you than being hit by a car. Satan is a present, real spiritual danger in our lives. You are in a spiritual battle every day. I've come to my conclusion. I wish you'd listen to me. Jesus never tells us to cast out demons. You say, Bob, Ed read Mark 16, verse 17 says that when we go, that the sign that we are His is going to be casting out demons. Now, I want to say this to you, and I want you to look it up if you don't believe me. This is the verse these people come back to over and over again about that every believer has this power and every believer is to do it. Everything past Mark 16:8 is not Scripture. Now look in your Bible to Mark 16:8. If you have any kind of modern version whatsoever or even a later edition of King James, look in the margin at what it says. And it will say, not in the oldest Greek manuscripts. That is not Scripture. That is not in there. Now, twice in the Bible, once Jesus gives authority to the apostles to cast out demons, heal the sick, and preach. That's Luke 9. In Luke 10, He sends out the 70 to go before Him and preach. He doesn't tell them they have authority over demons, but in 17:19, when they come back, they say they were able to cast out demons in His name. And that's when He says, don't be thankful you can do that. Be thankful that you're saved. Nowhere are we commanded to cast out demons. Nowhere. Exorcism is not mentioned in the work of the Holy Spirit in John 14 through 16. Not once. Exorcism is not mentioned in the Great Commission. Exorcism is not listed among the spiritual gifts. Be careful. I've picked up books by great people. I'm not talking about some kind of spiritual nilly-willy. I'm talking about some of the great people. If I mentioned their names, you'd say, I trust them. But in this area, they've got into superstition. I can't tell you how many folks said you've got to use the right formula. You've got to do it the right way. Friends, if Jesus wanted us to have an exorcism formula, He would have given us one. And you say, Bob, what would you do if you are confronted with a demon? I'm going to use every formula I read about in those books. But there's no scriptural basis for it. The magical use of Jesus' name or formulas is not New Testament. I had a lady call me one night, 10 o'clock at night, call me, and said, I'm casting out a demon. Do you know any Latin? Next day I told Bart. Bart said, you should have told us E pluris unum. Now I know that sounds funny. That lady was not joking with me. She wanted something. Now whether she had a demon-possessed girl or not, I don't know. I have no doubt there's demons. I have no doubt of possession. You read your Bible and you believe the book is true, you have no problems with that. I don't know what was happening. But you see, she thought the power was in the formula. I want to tell you, the power is in knowing Jesus Christ by faith, not in any order are words. You ain't got to say the right thing, get the demon out. You just say, I'm a believer, come out, and I'll do it. The Bible's true. Now, we are centering too much on us in this. Every one of these people kept saying, now you got to have no sin in your life or you'll be defeated. You can't have a hate or you can't have problems. You've got to be a perfect Christian or these demons will beat you up. Now that is just not New Testament, friends and neighbors. I want to tell you there is no place the New Testament says that I have to be anything. It says Jesus has to be all in all. And when we put the focus on what a man or a woman has to be or what a servant of Christ has to be and not on Jesus, we've lost the power. The power flows from Him irregardless of us. Now I grant you, the cleaner the vessel, the greater the power. But we do not need to major on our attitudes. We need to stand in our position in Christ, not our possession of that position. Personal experience must not be the source of doctrine. Oh, oh, oh. Remember, successful exorcisms were done, listen to me good now, by unbelievers. You say, what? Successful exorcisms were done by unbelievers. You mean show you where they are? Why don't you turn to Matthew 7, 22. Jesus said, all who call me Lord, Lord, on that day, I'm going to say, I don't know you. They're going to say, Lord, we cast out demons in your name. We preached in your name, and we did miracles in your name. Jesus said, I never knew you. There's one more. Mark 9, 38 and 39. John said, we saw some others casting out demons in your name, but they're not with us. And Jesus said, leave them alone. There's one about the sons of Sceva who were casting out demons by Jesus' name. And the demon said to him, I know Paul and I know Jesus, but who are you? And beat the hound out of that guy. And it says he fled naked. Wouldn't that be tremendous? Miracles are not automatically the sign of God. In closing, I want to say this. Remember that there is a spiritual battle. The spiritual battle is now, and the spiritual battle is you. Sorry. No troops in reserve. Sorry. No R&R. You are in a spiritual battle. We have the victory in Jesus Christ. We have the indwelling Holy Spirit. We have the guardian angels of God. You'll say, oh, come on. Psalms 91:11, Matthew 18:10, Hebrews 1:14. I do not know why I need a guardian angel if I have the Holy Spirit, but if God wants me to have one, I'll take three. Thank you. Maybe it's the way I drive. Stand. Stand, ye. Stand. 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 Lord God, I am thankful that I stand completely in your robes of righteousness. I am thankful that I have overcome by your blood on the cross. I am thankful that there is no evil that can touch me without my cooperation. I am thankful that you've done everything for me that needs to be done in the area of spiritual truth. But, oh God, I pray that you would help me not be such a part of my anti-supernatural day that I would miss that you have a significant task for me to do, a spiritual task. Oh God, you know how reluctant I've been in this area. You know how I have just been afraid of being misunderstood and labeled. But, oh God, I think I'm more afraid of the evil in my world than I am of people's label. And I think I want to follow you before I want to follow any men. And, God, I don't really want to wrestle with any demons. Tell you the honest truth, I just don't want to. But, oh God, I'm willing if any of your little ones are bound. If any of the members of Trinity Baptist Church, anybody sincerely seeking Christ, God, I'll do anything that's necessary to put my life between them and the evil one. You know I'm not saying this lightly, Father. But I pray that if the people which thou hast given me are bound, that in the name of Jesus you'd let them go free. If they've been trapped by sins of the flesh, the pull of the world, the temptations of supernatural evil, that as we preach and teach here in your name and lift you up, that you'd break those bonds. That your power would be lifted up. That no human being would be exalted, but that Jesus Christ might be lifted up. That you'd draw all men unto you. Jesus, you promised to come and set the captives free. So I pray this morning, any captives here, that in your love and mercy you'd speak to them right now and let them know your victory. If there's a lost person here, I pray you've spoken to them about their immediate danger. And I pray you've spoken to the Christians about their danger too. Lord, I don't have all the answers, but I want to stick with your book. And I think I'll sink or swim right there. God, forgive me when we're so reluctant because of what people say to stand up for your book at any cost. In Jesus' name, amen. If you feel like that you have a problem with the demonic, you need to see me. I feel better prepared spiritually than I ever had in my life to talk to you about that. You call me what you want to. But if you're hurting or you feel personal evil in your life in any way, you call me day or night. And I'll get some people and I'll come. And whatever it takes, however long it takes, we'll be with you until Jesus gives the victory. Now, there are some of you who are just going to go berserk on this. You're going to say, "Oh, preacher, you finally arrived. Get off my case." There are some of you going to say, "Preacher, you've gone berserk. Read your New Testament." Friends, I told you a long, long time ago that I have one source of authority, and it is not Baptist. It is Bible. Sink or swim, live or die, I'm going with the Bible. And you tag me anyway, you want to tag me. I'm going with the Bible.